Leviticus chapter 25. I would like us to read today first 13 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord, all thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine unrest, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you. And ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee, it shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession. This is the part of the chapter 25 that I wanted us to read today. And now, let us turn our faces to the Lord in our prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for these testimonies of old. We praise Thee, O Lord, that even the shadow of the things to come is so wonderful, so glorious. And we praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, that Thou hast revealed to us that even through the shadows, the brightness of Thy holy face is beaming upon those that believe and obey. And we pray today, O Heavenly Father, that Thou fill our hearts with gratitude and our souls with praise and adoration of Thy holy name. That we praise Thee, O Heavenly Father, with deepest gratitude and with the highest reverence, with love and adoration, O Lord, for all that Thou hast done to us, fulfilling the desire of all the faithful ones, all the hearts that Thou hast enlightened and warmed up with Thy goodness and grace and mercy, all those to whom Thou hast given faith to believe and obey Thy holy word, we're looking forward to that time when the everlasting Sabbath will dawn upon the mankind. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that that desire Thou hast fulfilled in the coming of the Savior. We thank Thee, O Heavenly Father, that that wonderful year of Jubilee has finally come, and the Day of Atonement, when the Lamb of God was offered for the redemption of our souls. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou give us deep insight into the meaning, significance, the worthiness, the value, O Lord, of that sacrifice, the only one that is worthy to redeem us from the judgment. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that this year of Jubilee, this atonement on the merit of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this redemption through the Lamb of God, O Lord, be applied even today to all those that believe and obey. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that we may also experience the year of Jubilee in a jubilant way, that we may rejoice in Thy goodness and mercy, O Lord, because that goodness and mercy of Thine has turned our hearts completely unto Thee. O Heavenly Father, make us strong in faith, we pray. Fill our hearts with love and gratitude, praise and adoration. Teach us, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, to walk in meekness with a humble heart following the Savior. Give us grace and power to be the children of the Most High, the heirs of the heavenly kingdom, those that found the possession lost long ago and repossessed that possession through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou grant us a heart of compassion as the heart of our Lord and Savior, and that in our heart, O Heavenly Father, Thou engrave Thy commandments, Thy precepts, Thy teaching, Thy Holy Spirit to be throned on high, and that we worship at the feet of Jesus the Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou grant us that grace and power and that discernment that we choose what is pleasing unto Thee, whatever is holy, whatever is righteous, whatever is honoring Thy holy name, O Lord, worshiping Thee through Christ Jesus, that we may choose that and that we may reject everything that is contrary to Thy holy word. O Heavenly Father, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Atonement, may fill our hearts and rule and control our daily walk. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast the power, and we pray, O Lord, that we may humbly lower ourselves under the mighty hand of Thine, under the rod of Thy shepherd. Gracious Lord, in these last days, manifest the power of Thy Spirit, delivering Thy people, gathering Thy flock into Thy fold, leading Thy sheep to evergreen pastures and to the fountain of living water. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, We pray that even today, until the last moment, we may walk in that year of Jubilee. Lord, heal Thou the sick. Strengthen the weak ones. Open the eyes of the blind, we pray, and give hearing to the deaf. Cleanse the lepers, O Lord. Give life to the dead. Comfort to those that are sad. Encouragement to those that are fearful. Lord God Almighty, deliver Thy people from every form and shape of bondage. And gather Thy children back to receive the inheritance Thou hast given us through Christ Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, may this holy word of Thine be that bread of life that came from heaven to give life to all those that come with faith in obedience to partake of the bread of life. O purify Thou us and sanctify Thou us. Enlighten us, Thou, O Lord, and fill us with Thy Spirit. Make us faithful, O Lord. Multiply the fruits of Thy Spirit. Manifest the power of Thy Spirit by uniting Thy children in the Holy Covenant. O Lord God Almighty, may the trumpet that sounded forth on the Day of Atonement, the trumpet that sounded forth in the matchless patience and enormous suffering of our Lord and Savior, may that sound of the priestly trumpet sound forth on and on until the last trumpet will be heard and we see Thee coming triumphantly. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, may we continue the sound of Thy atonement by living in purity, in patience, in endurance, with the strength that Thou hast given, O Lord. May we rest in Christ assured that nothing can pluck us out of Thy hand. May we labor in the Spirit, not even to touch anything that is sinful, O Lord. Grant us that purity that will pass on from Christ through us to all those that touch us. Gracious Lord, our loving Savior, we pray as Thou hast sent Thy disciples to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to proclaim Thy kingdom, that our patience and our endurance and our purity, holiness, righteousness that Thou hast bestowed upon us may grow and be multiplied, that our daily walk, our manners be a continual sound of the trumpet of Christ, the Holy Gospel for the redemption of the mankind. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, help us never to be discouraged, never to stop, never to cease, never to give up, never to surrender to the enemy, never, O Heavenly Father, to turn aside nor to turn back. May that shield of faith be our protection, faith in Christ, and the helmet of salvation, that we may know, Heavenly Father, that nothing has value as precious, as everlasting, as Thy gifts of spiritual nature. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, arm us with the whole armor of faith and lead us on the path of righteousness. Multiply the fruits of Thy Spirit and rule thou, Lord, be thou our King, our Lord, our Savior, be thou our all in all, that we may, O Heavenly Father, learn through the voice of thy prophecy through John the Baptist, that we should be always in decrease, until finally, O Heavenly Father, thou wilt proclaim the final victory, when this body and blood and all that is of a temporary nature will be spent in a faithful service to thy holy name. When thou, O Heavenly Father, wilt call us to receive that rest and peace and joy that will never cease. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou glorify thy name, exalt the name of Christ, manifest the power of thy Spirit, and thou, O Heavenly Father, deliver thy people, unite thy children. Thou, O Lord, proclaim the glory and honor of thy heavenly kingdom, of thy glorious and majestic name, O Lord. For thou art worthy to receive worship and praise, honor and glory. Thine is the power and government. Blessed be and honor and glorified thy holy name forever. Amen. The Lord gave this commandment to Moses, the commandment of the sabbatical years. Every 7 years, or after 6 years between the two Sabbath years, there was a time of forgiveness of debt. Whatever anyone owed to another, if he, the debtor, was not able to pay off, to return, to give back the loan or the thing that he owed, was forgiven. But apparently, as I was looking and searching through the scripture in a very limited way, I didn't find that they practiced that. Was it so difficult? Let's see what we read here. And why would the Lord give such a commandment? And if the Lord gave that commandment, why was it so neglected? I don't say that this was the only commandment that was neglected. Many others were neglected. The whole law was neglected. And I think it was never understood correctly. All the prophets that the Lord has sent interpreted and applied, offered the proper application of the law of God, the commandments of God to the people, and still they didn't understand. Did the Lord give such a law that no one can understand? Or a law that is very simple and easy to understand was continually rejected by the people to whom God gave the law? It's a frightening thing to look into the stubbornness of human disobedience. It's a struggle that every one of us, I believe, if all of you have a nature at least similar to mine, then every one of us has to struggle with that and to strive against something in me that is contrary to the will and commandments of God. And what is that? Once we turned to the Lord and we believed in His Word, and we believed that we are redeemed, it seemed to be, for most of the people, with very, very rare exceptions, is so easy to accept the fact that the Lord is gracious, merciful, and I am forgiven and I am saved. And but then, what about obedience? We are not going to, I hope, I pray to God that we won't kill or murder, steal, lie, at least not openly. We may believe in some lies and try to prove that the lies are truth, and I find in the scripture that that's also a lie, maybe a greater and more dangerous lie than an open lie. But what is that thing? What is the root of all evil that is in the flesh and blood of the human beings that cannot be fully, completely mortified, that keeps coming back? I hope we will find something more about that, some answer to that question, to figure out who is our real enemy, and to realize in a stronger way, with a deeper insight, clearer understanding, who is our real friend, so to say. What is bringing us closer to the Lord, and what is pulling us further away from the Word of God? Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap. Whatever grows of its own accord thou shalt not reap. Neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. You are going to feed on the Sabbath. You're going to live of that Sabbath, that seventh year. And that's going to be for thee and for thy servant and for thy maid and for thy hired servant and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle and for thy beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof, shall all the increase of the Sabbath be the food. Your sustainment, you are going to live of that Sabbath. Whatever the Lord will give to you, all that you need, you will take from the Lord. But you will not make your own storage, or you, if you had some, and surely they did have some from the past, you will not use that. Just rely on whatever the Lord will provide. Why was that necessary? Right now I think about the prosperity and how we could say blossoming years of the kingdom of Israel in the days of King Solomon. Abundance of everything. And yet, King Solomon did not think. At least I don't find any indication in this book that Solomon proclaimed the seventh year of Sabbath. That he said, thousands of you that are building my palaces, go home and just rest and relax. And in this year of Sabbath, I promise not to add another wife to my harem. Unsatiated greediness is such an evil. It's an awful thing. And we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, I think, where everything is vanity. Of course it is vanity. When one man has such a great power and he cannot limit and deny himself anything that ever comes to his mind. He's always searching for something else instead of enjoying the gift and the blessing of God that the Lord has given him. Hungry. Always hungry and never satisfied. And we see that in other kingdoms and the other rulers in much worse way. But even here, that's my difficulty, and that's what I think is very tragic. Solomon worshipped the Lord. The Lord revealed His will to Solomon. The Lord gave him wisdom and understanding. All of that became vanity for Solomon. Why? What was missing in everything? Whom did he worship? The Lord or his own pleasure? What is in the man that is so much, so stubbornly contrary to the will of God? It's his own will. My will be done, not thine. That's not a prayer. It's an arrogant intention of the sinful side of human nature. But now look into this commandment for the people that were like the Jews in the wilderness. I think the reason they did not rebel right that moment against this commandment was because the commandment was for the future. It seemed to be easier for the deceitful human heart to promise something in the future rather than do something much less right now. The Lord said here that everyone, the masters and the slaves, the lords of the land and, or the landlords and the servants, and even their cattle, they will all observe the seventh year as the year of Sabbath. Relax. Stop hungering. Stop desiring more and more. Stop comparing your possessions with the possessions of your neighbors and thinking that they have more and better than you. Stop thinking about that is for right now, and think on the Lord. Think on His Word. What were they supposed to do that seventh year, not working the regular work, not plowing, not pruning, not harvesting, not doing all the campaign work that was usual from year to year? I think those that lived in abundance and those that could not rest until they had something, quote, reliable, unquote, as a reserve, you know, as their assurance, their security. For them not to have that, for their soul, that should have been a rest in the Lord. Turn to the Lord and pray. And then when you receive something from the Lord, be thankful. And know that even in those 6 years when you labored and you exacted as much labor as you could from your servant and your slave and your household and your cattle, even in those years you had the increase only because the Lord gave you the increase. But then comes even more penetrating, more overwhelming commandment. Verse number 8 tells us, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbath of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Why that repetition? Just to prevent human manipulation. The people would like to explain that, just as they try to explain, some at least do, and I am afraid not just a few, try to explain that the creation was not in 6 days. It was 6,000 years. Or something like that, you know. Anything but what the Lord simply and plainly recorded in this book. Why? In any way to discredit the power and the majesty of God's name. Just, it must be something else. It cannot be what He told us. Where did that come from? Satan said to Eve, you may not surely die. But who wants to risk dying? Suppose that there was some truth in his words, that they were not going to die. Why would they even try it? Are there not many other trees in the garden? Why would you test that one by transgressing the commandment of the Lord? Don't you believe the Lord? But Eve looked at it and decided to experiment. She will try at least. I wonder, she probably did not harvest the whole tree right away. Maybe she just tried one fruit and instantly, immediately did not realize any change. She didn't drop dead, so she did it again. Another bite and another bite and... finally, she was sinful enough to try to make Adam sinful too. And the nature of sin continued in the human will. The sinful nature is reflected in the things that a sinner will and will not do. After 49 years, the Lord says in the verse number 9, then shalt thou, who is thou in this case? The priests of God, the people of God, they shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a Jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family. A Jubilee that 50th year be unto you. Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee shall return every man unto his possession. If anything is sold unto a neighbor, or anyone has bought something from his neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits, the number of harvests, he shall sell unto thee, and so on. Everything was to be centered around the year of Jubilee, and not in the intention of oppressing, manipulating, deceiving, taking advantage of one another, but rather, when a rich man had an opportunity to buy the land of his poor neighbor that had to sell the land, that rich man should have felt so bad about that.
But he could comfort himself, well, when the year of Jubilee comes, I will give him that land back without money. That, I believe, should have been the attitude of the people. It turned around. Instead of that, they say, well, this poor neighbor of mine is in a very difficult situation and he cannot meet the ends. His family is going to starve this year if I don't buy part of his land from him so that with that money he can sustain his family. But the rich man will say, no, I won't buy it because the year of Jubilee is close and then I will have to return it back to him. And then when the year of Jubilee came, those that did purchase the land did not return it back. And those that had slaves did not give liberty to the slaves. And those that had servants did not give them rest. Why? Because they relied on the laws of the other people in the other nations and not on the law of God. And I looked through the book, I looked through the concordance, and I did not find that since the time they came into the promised land, since they settled in the land of Canaan, the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to become their inheritance, since that time of their settlement, until the time of going into Babylonian captivity, they did not celebrate one single year of Sabbath. Not one single year of Jubilee. And I don't know exactly how many years they were in the promised land. And then, when they returned from the Babylonian captivity, a small remnant delivered by the Lord, and they came into the promised land again, they did not keep the year of Sabbath. Only once I remember that only one in one place I found something about giving liberty, giving freedom to their slaves of their own brothers. And even that was enforced. So what happened? This should have been a wonderful experience, and yet all it was another transgression, another violation of the will of God. But now let's look into that, lest I blame them too much. Perhaps they had the same difficulty that we have today, and that is trusting in the Lord, relying on the Lord. Think about this. Last 6 years, the last sabbatic year came. Last 6 years passed. What I mean by last 6 years? Well, they came to the land of Canaan and they lived 6 years. The seventh year was supposed to be the year of Sabbath. No agricultural work, no building, no selling, not doing anything, just taking care of the daily needs. What they need for food, what they need for drink. Now think about that. The one that had many acres of land, could he eat all of that? Of course not. What was he supposed to do? To share with those that had only a tiny parcel and didn't have enough. It was a year of sharing. One that had already some reserves from the past year and the other one that had nothing, they become brothers and they share equally. So, the what they had from the past would not be wasted, but used in the best possible way, way of charity. But then think about that. 6 years passed, the year of Sabbath came, another 6 years, another year of Sabbath, 36 years passed. And between each 6 years, there was 1 year of Sabbath. 42 years altogether passed. And then, 48 years passed. And then comes the last year of Sabbath. No sowing, no plowing, no pruning, no harvesting. And then another year of Jubilee. No sowing, no plowing, no harvesting, nothing. Just eat whatever comes of its own accord. 2 years. And then comes the third year, first active or first year of working, sowing, plowing, doing all the necessary things. And until that, the harvest that year, they still had to eat what was left on the fields from before. Do you see what's going on here? It's almost 3 years. Without relying on our work, just waiting on whatever the Lord will give. They did not believe it. They could not trust the Lord to take care of them. And because of that, they never experienced the beauty and the glory and the abundance of Lord's loving care for His people. Why all of that? As long as there is that stubborn will of mine in me, I cannot fully surrender to the will of the Lord. It's such a struggle. It's such a battle. It's a continual strife that Paul, I believe that was Paul the Apostle that said, "My brethren, I die daily." And he said to the disciples also, "Mortify your members that are in the flesh." So, the people just did not obey the will of the Lord. And they never experienced that wonderful time of a sabbatic year being succeeded by the year of Jubilee. Resting in the Lord to such an extent that it became jubilant, glorious. A feast, a celebration, a charity, a unity, an equality. Just a wonderful thing. First time the year, the land of Israel became the land of the Lord. And His holy people lived there. It never happened. But it should have happened. And let's stop for a moment and think. How would it have been if it had been? A whole year was the Sabbath year, the last seventh Sabbath year was in all of the land of Israel. They did not sow, they did not plow, they did not reap, they did not gather the fruit. They lived from the fields, healthy, natural food. Straight from the field into their mouth. And they did not, they were not as busy as during the past 6 years. They had to see who is needy, who needs help, whom can we help, whom can we honor, whom can we appreciate, whom can we embrace and have that wonderful brotherhood of the people of God. It was a beautiful, wonderful time. And then they look and they start breaking in their mind, in their heart, they start breaking the cruelty and the callousness, the insensitivity to the needs of other in their hearts, in their minds. They start changing, because it's a wonderful thing to be together in the field and eat, instead of eating each one around his table, and one has abundance that he cannot use and the other one has a clean table and has nothing to eat. So they had a wonderful time, and the year is coming to its end, and this man that was so wealthy and so mighty, he sees that, really, I'm poor. I was poor for so many years because I did not rely on the Lord. And he feels that he owes something to the Lord. Gratitude, love, respect. And then he looked around himself. I have slaves. And look what the Lord has blessed me with. Should I not share his blessing with my slaves? And he is looking forward to hear the sound of that trumpet that will announce the year of Jubilee, freedom and liberty to all. And then the trumpet would sound in the temple of the Lord, or in the tabernacle of the congregation. The priests would take the trumpets and sound forth, it is the year of Jubilee. And then from Jerusalem the sound will be heard to the next town and next city, and pretty soon you hear the priestly trumpet in Bethlehem, in Hebron, in Bethel, in every city, every town, the trumpets are sounding. Freedom, freedom, liberty, everybody is free. And those that lost their inheritance are returning back joyfully. And those that purchased the land are celebrating giving that land to the previous owners. And those that were slaves are free now. And the masters are equal with the slaves. And the slaves equal with the masters. And the master, in his loving way, is packing up some provisions. You are not going to go out empty. Take this and take that. Sharing, loving, understanding, supporting one another. And the year of Jubilee becomes the year of glorifying the name of the Lord. And the whole land is free, and they return to their possession lost long ago in Adam. They are now the people of God. But alas, it never happened, because they never obeyed, never trusted the Lord, never completely surrendered to Him. Never realize that eternity is much more valuable than the temporary few days that we spend on this earth. And the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to prophesy to them, to tell them how beautiful, how wonderful would that be if they obey the word of God. If they observe the Sabbatic year, if they celebrate the year of Jubilee. In Isaiah chapter 61, we read this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." How can that be? How can that be? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What are all the other years? Unacceptable. Why are they unacceptable? We, the people of God, did not accept the Lord, did not accept His word, did not die to ourselves daily, that we may rise up every morn in the new life in Christ. But then, how can that be, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the year of vengeance of our God. You see, when we obey the word of God, we proclaim the vengeance to our adversary. When we disobey the word of God, we share the vengeance that belongs to Him, the judgment of God against our injustice, our unrighteousness. The comfort is proclaimed to all that mourn. This almost reminds us of the sermon of the Lord. He said, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted." And then in the verse number 3, Isaiah is prophesying, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified, He, the Lord, to be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord, men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and their glory shall ye boast, in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for your confusion, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment and hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them." All the glorious promises, the beautiful promises of the Lord to His people, but if they obey, if they trust and believe in that year of Jubilee, and yet it never happened. Never happened. Centuries passed, and it did not happen. They did not accept the acceptable year of the Lord. And so they went to Babylonian captivity. The kingdom is destroyed. The house of God is destroyed. They never found again the Ark of the Covenant. They never again heard the voice of God from the mercy seat. And after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, they come back and they built again the house to the name of God, the house of worship. And the old people that knew the glory and the beauty of the Solomon's temple, they are lamenting, they are mourning, they are crying loud, because they feel that what is lost will never be regained again. But the young people that were building the new house, though small it was, were cheering and rejoicing because they have laid the foundation for a building where the truth of God will be declared. And in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, those that were zealous for the Lord, those that believed, that obeyed the word of God, they got together, they got organized, and they were working, and they compelled the others to obey the word of God, to love one another, to forgive one another, to help and support one another, all in that one direction, that one intention, to serve the Lord and to honor the name of God. And so, years passed by, And it seemed to me that all that zealous and holy fellowship of Ezra and Nehemiah, historically, from generation to generation, they came to the level of being an organization of Pharisees. The quote, purity, the pure ones, unquote, and those that are righteous and godly, and they know how to give the tenth of the tiniest income that they have, and they know that on the Sabbath you only walk slowly and talk softly because you may not work. And if somebody stumbled and fell down, don't touch him, it's a Sabbath. You know, you don't work on the Sabbath day. Totally misunderstood, misinterpreted, hypocritical religion that has no true and sincere faith in the Lord and His Word. And in such a situation, such an environment, finally, our Lord Jesus is coming, and He is reading the Word of God. He is reading the prophecy of Isaiah in the city of Nazareth. That's in Luke chapter 4. Verse 14, we can find that after the testing and trial and after the testimony in the wilderness, our Lord Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of Him through all the region round about. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book. And He gave it again to the assistant, to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to talk to them. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Lord Jesus Christ came with the anointment of the Spirit of the Lord. His words were simple and powerful. The truth of the gospel came forth so clear that everyone that wants to understand and desire to know the will of God can hear, can understand, and can know it. But it also came so clear and so plain that everyone that hates the will of God will hate it even more. And so the citizens of Nazareth could not accept the fact that their lack, their difficulties, their problems, their struggles are not because of the insufficiency of the Lord, but because of their resentment, rejection of the will of God. And when that was plainly revealed to them, they got up and they grabbed Him and dragged Him out of their city, and they want to murder Him. The people that know not the year of Sabbath will never know the year of Jubilee. It does not come one without the other. So, the day did come when the Lord Jesus confirmed what He read and what He preached or proclaimed in the synagogue in Nazareth. The Lamb of God was offered.
and the disciples that believed experienced the redemption. And they continued in prayers, and they witnessed the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they heard the promise of the angels. After the promise that they received from the Lord Jesus, and they returned back to Jerusalem, and they continued together in prayers, and then one day, after their short sabbatic experience, the experience of relying on the Lord, they experienced the year of Jubilee, and the sound of the gospel broke forth in all directions, through Jerusalem, through Judea, Samaria, and all the other parts of the world. And stop and think about this for a moment. It came even to us. No one is that far from the Lord that the gospel cannot reach him. But only those will experience the year of Sabbath. Only those will experience the year of Jubilee that trust and obey, that believe the Lord and relinquish their own worries and fears, their own will. And now the year of Sabbath in the Lord is here. And the fields of His goodness and grace are everywhere around us. Let us not plow in our own strength. Let us not sow our own seed. Let us not harvest what we have deserved. But let us rest in the Lord and eat daily from the things that He has provided, because the year of Jubilee is coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and He will gather unto Him His harvest from His fields, His people, all